preview.
Weenie Wednesday, episode 86. Here's what you missed yesterday. Billy the Marlin, the original, not the new guy that looks like a cartoon character. The actual Billy the Marlin. John Ruth was here.
So cool.
Talked about some crazy stories. I don't know if he told the story that he told in a previous interview, but it was some opening day, and there were some paratroopers that were going to jump into pro player, and one of them being Billy the Marlin, not really John Ruth. An actual paratrooper.
An actual person knows.
An actual army paratrooper. But the guy was wearing the head and the suit of Billy the Marlin. He's going to land in the center of the field and everything. And as he's coming down, a gust of wind blows by, rips the head right off of him. Now he's got to divert his course to land somewhere in the parking lot.
You cannot traumatize those kids with a headless
Billy the Marlin.
Billy the Marlin.
Right. So the guy back then, it was, Jeff Loria and was Samson the president?
David Samson.
Back then, one of my most hated characters of all time. They ended up being the guys that fired Billy the Marlin.
Yep.
But anyway, it worked out for him. So they offer up a reward, a bounty for whoever finds the head of Billy the Marlin, which was 4 World Series tickets for every game. So here's what happens. A couple months pass by, opening day is in April. June, 2 jokers find the head somewhere off the highway in some marsh and bring it in for their reward.
I love it.
Yeah, so pretty cool. Great show. The guy was really, really gracious. He's got a bunch of memorabilia and wants to come in and do another show with us.
So again. Cool.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, as a father of an 8-year-old who I've been taking, the 2 things that make games enjoyable for my kid are, she loves seeing the mascots. She loves the maniac.
Yeah. Does she like the cheerleaders? The mermaids? Not really. She's not
too. Nah, man. She loves Billy.
Isn't she a dance person?
She's a dance person.
But not that kind of
dance. You know, I got to tell you something. She's starting to pay a little more attention to the dance, but nah, man. She loves the maniac. The maniac's a great mascot.
Yeah, yeah.
Canes baseball. She loves the ibis. Again, yeah, high energy, Sebastian. Crazy. She loves Sebastian. She loves Billy for some reason. And I thought it was interesting because, you know, Billy.
She like Bernie?
She likes Bernie. But it's interesting because those mascots are a higher energy than Billy. Billy's pretty chill.
Yeah.
She likes Billy. And it's funny because in the other rule.
Well, the new Billy is pretty chill. The old Billy, not so much.
Crazed.
Yeah. I mean, that guy's. Look, do you remember the picture when he was Sebastian and all the troopers have him pushed up against the fence?
I know.
He was going to shoot the. Shoot out the chief, whatever, whatever his name
Osceola.
Was. Chief Osceola. He was going to blow out his
spear. Blow
but he actually, I think he actually broke a couple spears, but he was going to blow out the spear and all that. Yeah.
I love that stuff. Well, let me finish this thought, though. Sure. Then the other rule I have is to make my daughter want to go to baseball games with me. So I'm appreciative because she likes going to see them. And the other rule is I always ask my daughter in front of people, like, what's the rule when you go to any sporting events with Poppy?
You get anything answers, you want.
You've heard her say it. I get anything I want.
Wherever.
I don't care if it's a jersey, a hat,
whatever.
3 ice creams. She gets it.
Exactly. The Marlins teddy bear. George Gonzalez. I can't read it from that.
Yeah, part. Read it to us.
I know the next Billy and Jeter fired him.
What?
I know the next Billy. So the middle Billy. So there was a middle Billy and he got canned by Jeter. And now they got a new Billy.
Billy 2. We're on Billy 3. George, how you doing, man? That's nice crazy. To see you.
Yeah, we need to get him to come
oh
in.
Oh, my
if
God.
He's a Marlins fan, that would be good.
Yes.
So Weenie Wednesday, we're going to play the video in 1 minute. But I've got a couple that are super good candidates for Weenie Wednesday.
Let's do it.
I could say 3 right off the bat. And then the obvious hero is somebody we both, I'm sure we're going to agree on. But Denise, roll the video intro for Weenie Wednesday. Fired up.
This is for you, Dave R.
Best intro video ever.
Dave Arbetter approved video.
And look, there it is right there. It's a historical landmark.
I was just there. That's what it looked like. There weren't I don't know what those inflatable balloons are. It looked just like that.
Somebody's birthday.
There was more pretty girls there than in that picture. But it was packed as usual.
Right.
And I got to tell you something.
You actually got to sit next to the infamous Dave Arbetter?
The highlight of my week. And I've had a crazy week.
Okay.
The highlight of my week. I was on TV, interview this. I got a lot to do, a lot of cool things. The highlight of my week. I look over and I lock eyes. David Arbetter.
It's like, no.
The legend.
Dude, he's a ninja when it comes to hot dogs, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was great. It was great seeing him. And I got to tell you something. I was able to show him. He's not a good Twitterer. He has a Twitter account. He doesn't do anything with it. And the other day,
I'm going to eat one.
Good. A guy showed just a chili dog, the Burger Beast. And the Burger Beast just showed the chili dog. There was nothing else. It was just a picture of the chili dog. Nothing indicated where it was from.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone jumped on it, including me, and was like, Arbetter's. Mm-hmm. And like, I tagged Arbetter's, like, Arbetter's is the best.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny because I was reading them all the different things today. And one of the funniest stories was someone was saying it's the best chili in town.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And the guy said for a bachelor party, he bought 40 pounds of frozen chili.
Okay.
Or maybe it was 4 pounds. I may be exaggerating, but whatever. It was a big thing.
Sounds
of it.
Better when you say 40.
And, you know, now I think it's 4 because he had to carry it on. But he said TSA told him, never seen that before. But you can bring your chili on board.
Frozen chili from Arbetter's. Where was it going?
Across the nation? Yeah, on an airplane somewhere.
Awesome.
So anyways, it was great to spend time with Dave. You know, we were talking local sports. We were talking what makes Miami great. I was telling him how he had heard us say about how Arbetter's, at noon, any 7 days a week, is the most diverse place in Miami. True. Every shape, size, color
of
human being is there. Getting along, enjoying this.
CEO down to the guy that's a janitor. Yep. Or my job, which is pretty low also. So, Weenie Wednesday, let's just review it. We pick a weenie, which is basically the worst player of the game the night before. And then we pick a top dog. So hard for me to decide after watching that debacle again, letting Sandy blow an awesome, awesome start. I want to pin a little bit on Yimmy Garcia for giving up that tying run and then the game winner.
But again, it's this thing of like, don't be complaining if you can't score two runs in a Major League Baseball game.
And then the other two guys I would put on the list, and one of them was kind of acting like a little B-I-T-C-H, is Jazz Chisholm. Kind of giving that home plate umpire a little chatter back.
Business.
Yeah, and he went 0-for-4. And then Adam Duvall. Sorry, Don, I know that's your love of your life, boyfriend, wannabe. The guy was great on the road, comes back home and sucks, so he's up and down. He's streaky.
The whole team, it was interesting. I watched last night and the team, it just, we looked listless. Maybe we're tired.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it is about Toronto. I mean, they're a good baseball team, but they make us look terrible.
Yep. Well, look at the players they got. Guaranteed first number one vote getter for the All-Star game in Vlad Guerrero Jr. Funny to see him make that error.
Yep.
Which was a... one that I coach Little League Baseball, and all my first basemen, I constantly had to go, don't squeeze the glove till you feel it in there.
Yeah.
Just don't do it because you're going to do something stupid like that. But it didn't end up changing the game. But it's good to see that these guys that we look up to and think are like star level, out of this atmosphere kind of guys make mistakes like we do.
It's funny you say, because I think sometimes the thing about baseball or anything, any sport like that, is it's, you see how hard the game is, right? You even see those mistakes. It's like you see how hard it is.
Yeah. Tough. It's a tough game. And that and look, Stripling, he pitched pretty well, the other guy. And
I want to go back to how hard the game is, because I saw a great highlight.
Good, because I'm still
see hungry. If you remember this. It was a highlight of Reggie and Billy Martin. And Reggie had messed up. I think he had two errors in right field, the way he was approaching the ball. Do you remember this? Kinda. And then he got in a fist fight with Billy.
Like 78, something like that.
And you see like this grainy film, and it's in Boston. And I think that Billy, the film starts with Reggie going up to Billy. And I think the context was Billy benched him. right? Mm-hmm. And then tell him, like, go sit down. You're not playing. Mm-hmm. And Reggie, of course, goes bonkers. And they're just like, and it was funny because it really see, you can see Reggie, and Reggie wants to punch him. Mm-hmm. He's held back. And then I don't know what he says to Billy, but Billy won't stop. Billy's like a monkey trying to get away from everybody to attack Reggie. Like right, he just right. wants a piece of Reggie.
Right.
And you have like,
that guy had no fear.
And it was so funny. It's like,
you
hear the play-by-play announcer back then. It's like, you know, and it's just one name after another. It's like, you know, Dick Houser, which of course we know from FSU fame,
right?
Like Dick Houser and the Yogi Bear has got hold of Billy. He's trying to tackle Billy and Dick's sitting on top of him. And then the Boston crowd, of course, has a whole view of this fight.
Yeah. And they love it.
Bonkers. The kids from the dugout are jumping on top of the dugout so they can look under. The cops are yelling at them. It was so awesome.
Awesome, man. And that's Mr. October you're dealing with. But here's something funny that we can bring that to modern day, because that just happened in Chicago when Javier Baez got benched for not knowing how many outs.
Yep.
And he David Ross was absolutely in his authority to do that, because that's stupid.
Yep.
You're playing MLB level baseball.
Yep.
You got to know how many outs there are.
Yep.
Especially when everybody's telling you, two, one, two, you know. Everybody doing it. So
it's funny you say it, because I have, when I go to games, you can't take your eyes off of Aguilar.
He's awesome.
At first. And it's funny, as goofy as he is, I often find this with some players like that, like as goofy as he is, technically he plays, like when you watch his footwork at first.
Yeah, yeah.
And the way he does things. And I was trying to show my daughter, I said, watch how he does after every play. And you should see the vehemence that he tells everybody. Like he's not holding up his finger, Tommy. Look at me for a second. It's like he makes eye contact. Tommy, we got one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tommy,
yeah.
One out. The play's at second. Like he is just in everyone's face, making sure. It's really interesting.
And for a big boy, he can stretch out. He can do a split for sure.
Yeah. I don't think he gets the technical credit. I like watching him play first because you know what it is? He plays with that kind of loosey-goosey style.
Yeah.
And the Dominicans have the heavy set Dominicans have that reputation as being loosey-goosey. He plays first the way first needs to be played. It really is technically proficient.
And he was one of the guys that was giving Jazz Chisholm a look, saying, dude, settle down. Let's get your head in the game. That's that part, that at bat is done. Now let's get back to do what we got to do here in the field and get back in there where we can get some runs. So, yeah, he's a leader. I mean, when they come in and if somebody scores a run or they hit a home run and he's in the dugout, they're jumping on him like a big Papa Bear at the end. But let's talk about this. We got to have a top dog, obviously Jesus Sanchez. That was a 439-foot rocket that, I mean, when I saw it leave the bat, the swing was so sweet. I knew it was gone without even looking at it.
Yeah.
You can hear it. And then he had another one that almost went out.
And
he just didn't get it on the barrel, right on the sweet spot of the barrel, but it was going too.
That first one was so interesting to see, because sometimes, like when you go watch, I've been to golf tournaments, and there's certain golfers who are like, I use a pitching term for it, but you know, max effort guys, right?
Yeah.
You know, you watch a pitcher and there's guys that are max effort, and then there's guys like Glavin type, you know, it's just this fluid motion. It looks like they can do it all day long, right? And that swing looks so easy, so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was funny seeing, like it was to show a young hitter that swing, and it was all about
short, compact, and a lot of power.
But what was it about? It was about you hit the ball right where you need to hit it, right? Mm-hmm. He hit the sweet spot. He had the exit velocity. He had the exit angle.
Yeah,
like it was just such a beautiful
hit. Yeah, like 120 miles an hour exit velocity, huge hit. I've only seen one longer than that, and that was Starling Marte that hit it out over the Budweiser sign. But so he has obviously got to be the top dog. That's his second MLB home run. He hit one in Wrigley when he went up there and joined the team. I like that kid. He's good in the outfield. He's pretty fast out there, and he's got a lot of enthusiasm. And I think it's cool for him to be kind of juxtaposed against the more flamboyant Jazz, and so he can kind of sit back and do his thing and not have to worry about all the hype and all the
– And it's interesting you say that, because I've been interested to see, like, I was thinking the other day, you know, we've taken a couple of days off the podcast. And
I was
thinking about different things. And one of the things I was thinking about was, you know, I watch a lot of hockey. And part of what happens in hockey, it's different because
there's – Okay, Denise. Hockey reference.
Now you can turn off.
$100 fine.
We do need to have a fine. $5 fine.
Okay.
And put it in the jar. And it's lines, right? So you're on a line, and it's really important how the line gels. And you see guys, there's certain guys that just want to be the workhorse, and they do well with the super flamboyant guy. And I've been watching the team, and basketball is the same way, right? You see the basketball team trying to gel around certain personalities. And I've been thinking about our personality, like, you know, what is the personality of the Marlins? And I think that's got, I got to tell you something. I think that's one of our failings right now is we don't really have a personality. You can't say we have the personality of a Jazz. Jazz is an outlier. Jesus Aguilar is an outlier.
Miguel and then you have these,
and then you have like Miggy, who's like, to me, is more of a work, hard hat type guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you have a lot of these, like our white American players.
Adam Duvall,
are just
Dickerson.
No nonsense. You know, Duvall is just out there. Again, it's kind of like a blue collar almost type of approach to the game. And so I wonder at the end, like, you know, I wonder how much of it is just gelling. You can tell the guys like each other.
Oh, yeah.
You can
tell
they get along. And that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying people don't get along, but I do think that we're trying to find an identity. And it's going to be interesting because these guys are not going to have a lot of time to gel because we got guys in the minors right now that are chomping at the bit together.
Yeah, yeah. And we're not even going to know for another month what's going to happen when the trade deadline comes. And everybody's talking about Starling Marte going to the Yankees, what it's going to take to make that happen. And then really it depends on where are we in terms of making the playoffs and getting to the postseason, what we do with that guy. And he's, you know, arguably the best hitter we got on the team.
I don't know what to make of it. I was trying to think of the, you know, of it, it's the Marlins are in a tough position. And it's interesting because I didn't like already there's kind of talk of like, you know, if he wants $50 million, we're not going to sign him. And I was like, why are we even saying that out loud? Like, I don't quite understand. Like, I get the mentality that maybe the play is to leverage that and get two new pitchers. I mean, I get it. Like, it's not that we have to have Starling Marte, but it's like barring something fantastic, you have a guy that you can build around. Like, I don't like this talk of like.
Plus, he wants to stay here. Yeah. He's already said, hey, I want to end my career in Miami. So, I mean, I think they got to figure out a way to sign that guy. And it, look, if they don't and they trade him, then I want a starting pitcher and I want some top prospects. Yeah.
You want a top three pitcher. I mean,
top three. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm telling you, I mean, when I say top three in your rotation, top three of the league, top three in the rotation.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I just, I didn't like the talk. I think that just for everybody involved, even if you're going to trade him, you got to say like, no, he's a Marlin. We're going to keep him a Marlin. We're going to figure out a way to do this. And then if all of a sudden there's a blockbuster trade, your fan base gets it. But this talk of like, I don't know, he's too expensive. It's like, wait a minute. I thought we were building champions here.
Build
champions, we need Starling Marte.
Right. But look, they have gotten some bang for the buck. If you think about Adam Duvall, 100%. They're only paying him $2 million for 2021. But he's leading the he's leading the National League in RBIs,
I was mad. Remember
second
that?
Second place is Jesus Aguilar. I know they're not paying it.
Remember that trade? That
he might be making a little bit more.
Who's that guy that plays for Milwaukee that we
– Yelich.
Yelich. I was so mad. I loved Yelich. I loved the way he played the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been reminded a bunch of times because they show – I love when they do the graphic, just like the trade. Mm-hmm. They put Yelich on this side, his production, and then they show what the Marlins got, and everyone's kicking ass. Like, that was a good trade for everybody involved. Let me be clear. Everyone involved in that trade did well. But the Marlins, like, we got a lot of great prospects. So I'm not against it. I get it. Marte is just, I don't know. It's funny how we think about it. It's just, it's tough. It's a tough situation.
Big time. I know you got to go pick up LC here.
Yeah, what does George say?
George, did you guys catch? Well, David says Tommy wears the pants for God's sake.
Yes.
Listen, I don't. I'm not a singer. I'm not a pariah.
Yeah.
I'm not a singer. Pariah politician of Palmetto Bay where I have to dress up and impress people. So this is a sports show. This is
I love
this
that.
Isn't an.
I
asked
David, do you have a hot dog named after you yet?
No.
He said, did you guys catch the triple play the Yankees?
Yep. Yeah. Against the A's. We did.
Tell me when vanilla has ever been exciting. They need to sprinkle veterans that have been known and still have some in the tank. The Marlins miss Orestes de Strade.
Oh, that's Eugene Flynn, I think. Another Palmetto Bay.
Oh, Eugene Flynn, yeah.
Mayor Flynn, good to hear from you, sir. I might help him restart his campaign for mayor again. I'd love to be his campaign manager, or at least one of the boots on the ground.
I gotta say that
I love that guy.
That Palmetto Bay, it is as as it's been called, Losers Corner, our show, which I'm on Losers Corner. I'm part of Losers Corner.
But you're
Corner.
Not the loser.
But I am part
the
of
Losers on the other corner.
I am part of Losers Corner. And I got to tell you something. It is the, I mean, of course, David Sayer, we're the number one ranked show on community newspapers, the hub of local community news.
Right.
But Sayer is nipping at our heels. That show is on fire.
There's a big difference between a very small a group of people in Palmetto Bay. He can, get those people all riled up and make them crazy. And then you get, 5,000 people watch the show. But we're talking about the number 69th ranked show in the United States. Not Palmetto Bay, not Florida, the entire United States. So there you go, Sayer.
That's what you're going to do this
year. I will take under advisement. The pant thing, probably not going to happen.
The number one. It is.
Especially on Wednesdays.
Fair comment, David Sayer. I have to back you up as usual on that. You're talking
my co-host is way overdressed.
You're talking sense about his, Tommy's got nice legs. So, I mean, Tommy's pulling it off.
Yeah. Well, whatever.
Eugene Flynn, no villains have less drama. And George writes, replying to Eugene as Palmetto Bay turns.
That's
it. That should be the title.
Losers Corner, aka
as Palmetto Bay.
Well, turns. I like exile government. I like that he's the exile, the government in exile.
They might be wanting to put together a coup.
I was gonna say. What would a municipal coup look like? Just can you imagine just Sayer?
Probably Roman candles outside of the.
Can you no? But can you imagine just Sayer just starts passing legislation?
I'd love it. I think it's a great idea. I encourage him to do so.
He starts calling the city manager.
By the way, I think you need to do this, this, and that.
I demand a meeting.
Right.
You're not implementing my policies.
Right. And the last time even. Anyway, we completely went off track. We're going to run out of time, but I was going to ask you about the Scherzer thing with the sticky substance deal.
And then who's the other guy, the pitcher that imitated him? He did a good job. Too.
I didn't see that one.
The other guy
Scherzer
did the same
thing.
Scherzer
is a baby, bro. Because look, it's part of the deal. It's part of the agreement that you signed to play this game.
But what did he
make
wrong?
A gazillion dollars?
I like it every time.
Playing,
I think
working one day out of five.
I think every pitcher. I think Pornhub offered him $1 million
to pull his pants down.
In front of everybody. And what would be great is just to have his, just have your tidy whiteys on and just any time. And not the first time. They're entitled the first time. I want to be very clear about
that. Right.
To me, I 100%, you got the sticky stuff on you. Check me out. I don't. But the second time they do it, I like the just undress.
Take it all off.
Just down to your tidy whiteys.
There you go. Nothing here.
Just act like you're getting a frisk.
Yeah.
You want me to bend over and cough?
Right. There you go. That's going to be the next part. That's going to be the next deal. But look, I mean, they did it with our pitchers last night in the game, and there were no complaints about it. It's part of the game.
But I got to tell you something.
And if you were a player with integrity, you wouldn't let other players do that crap where we have to have these kind of rules.
But I got to tell you something. It's getting a little
distracting. But he does come from the cheater mentality of the Houston Astros.
The unrepentant cheaters, we call them.
And you know what? I'm happy for Joe Girardi to call him out. And then he wanted to come out there and get a piece. That guy's from South Florida. He's no joke.
It's interesting. I feel like, though, there's going to come a point where it's so let me back up. Are you watching any NBA finals?
A little bit.
This stuff with the free throws it's fun to watch. Like it's gotten crazy. And, the Greek freak every time breaks the rule. Right.
Yep.
He doesn't they're not calling it.
Right.
So you have fans calling down the 5 seconds. Like it's just, and it's, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. And then he's like lazily missing a free throw. But the point is like it's been funny. And then James Harden the other day, what his histrionics as time expired. Right. He's just like, it was hilarious to see. But this calling out the pitcher is like, I wonder if there's going to come a point where you just have to say, like, you get one challenge or whatever, because it does get, they talk about unwritten rules of baseball. You could just every inning ask, like, I think Tommy's
definitely using
got stuff.
Some kind of goo on under his bill of his hat.
So twice in a game is rough.
Yeah. Well,
and then I got to tell you something. Time. And then the last thing I will tell you is I have seen pitchers and they'll just mess with you. right? Like as I'm throwing some crazy smoke, you know, my curveball is just hitting it and I'm just every pitch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm just, with them. I'm just, you know, I'm just doing this every
getting
pitch.
In their head.
You're just looking at you like,
oh, you know what's in there.
You ready for another curveball?
Glue.
So there may be some of that going on. I can't tell. Like I'm not watching the games close enough to see if they're even like baiting that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But anyway, Scherzer, what a baby, dude. And then you got to like eyeball the guys. You're walking back to the dugout. It's a 65-year-old man, bro. Come on. Grow up. If you didn't have a history of cheating, this wouldn't be an issue. And plus, he's a national, and I can't wait till they get here and we get to whip their ass.
It's a tough – you got to tell you, it's a tough – it's funny. I had a client who's wrongfully accused of something and legitimately wrongfully accused. And I told the client, you know, like one of the things you have to do is like the first time that you're wrongfully accused,
right?
It's really hard. It really rocks your world, right? It's not, we're not used to it. It doesn't feel good. And I said, but you have to, you know, you have to have that righteous indignation, like give off that energy, right?
Right.
Like don't let it rattle you or someone sees you. It's like, well, Tommy's not acting like somebody's wrongfully accused. Like he's a little rattled.
Right.
Why are you rattled? If right. you're innocent, why are you rattled?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you're rattled.
Just submit to it, man. Just yeah. submit.
And I think it was interesting you say, because sometimes he doth protest too much type thing. There is an element of like you could just see someone kind of like, you know, like, you know, come on, man. Like, you know, like be more like if you're truly innocent of that, like let's go, man.
But that's a bad look for the MLB when the guy's unbuttoning his pants and what are kids looking at this? What the hell? Come on, Scherzer, you better than that. Anyway.
Well, maybe he'll take the $1 million and pull out his.
That'd be smart.
Because pull out his weenie.
Yeah, but he yeah. So we might should make him the weenie Wednesday, Max Scherzer. Too bad we're not going to get to face him when he's here.
Bunch of cheaters.
Yeah, I can't stand.
I don't. That. I don't know what to make of it. It's funny. I always talk about the American game. It's like it's NASCAR is the same way. It's right. You know the if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
That's right. Right. So. Plus, Max Scherzer sounds like some Nazi war criminal. The name of some old war
some general. SS officer.
Right, right, right. Ridiculous. All right. So, because we didn't have a Monday show, which is Madam G's mashup
yes,
Monday, we're gonna
mash it
we're
up.
Gonna go out to the end. We're gonna end it out with one of her mashups right now.
Mash it up. This is down, listen, this is for Trevor, you, Grant Miller.
We got Trevor Rogers tonight. At 7:10 against the Blue Jays, I think we get a win. At least get this win. End up with we lose the series against them because we lost two up there in Buffalo. But now we come back here, we get at least get one and get some momentum going into the National Series, which is way more important than the series against the interleague game that we're playing right now. So episode. So look, we got to start all over. Flip the M, go fish. All right, Denise, take it out, Madam G.
Thanks, D-Nice.
Disorderly House Entertainment.
I love it. Out. Disorderly House. She's so good.
Fun. Grant pops in. What's going on?
Yeah. That's so funny. It's like, here comes Dad. Here comes Dad. He's pissed. What you doing in there? Since you took your kids. Away.
Cool. Tommy, I go out on the sleep all day. Since you took your love away. Number 305
726 1981.